Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, destruction and construction. And before we get started, I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey, the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. Lucis Trust sponsors Inner Sight. Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of literature, and those 24 volumes are the primary inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. And the following thought comes from Alice Bailey as well. In the destruction of the familiar and in the chaos of these modern times, the work of the new creation is going forward. The task of reconstruction, leading to a complete reorganization of human living and to a fresh reorientation of human thinking, is taking place. This seems to imply that destruction has its positive aspect. Is that true? And if it is, why do we fear it so?
I think we fear destruction because we are so attached to the outer world, the outer planes of living, life in form. We are attached to maintaining our health, our relationships, our creations on all levels, and understandably so. We want to preserve what we have built. But there's a deeply spiritual implication behind destruction that might come as kind of a shock to people who think that the spiritual life is one of sweetness, of harmony, of freedom from pain, of the preservation of everything that is so that it will endure forever, when in fact death on all levels of life is an inherent part of spiritual evolution. So I thought in this discussion of destruction and construction, we could try to understand why the death of the old and the familiar, particularly at this time in the world when so much that has been so dear, and if not so dear, at least familiar, is passing away, we could consider the positive side of that. I think a lot of people are kind of frightened by the passing out of the old, and I am too sometimes. I wonder what's going to replace it, what lies on the horizon. We're in a transition from an old age to a new, and there's a great deal that's very familiar that seems to be looming on the horizon. It's understandable that we feel a little anxiety, but I think just understanding that destruction is a part of the plan is liberating. Basically, we have to keep in mind there are two types of destruction. There's the destruction that human beings manifest when they are acting emotionally and up in arms about something and have a bee in their bonnet, so to speak, and want to eliminate something or someone. We all know the effects of that and how hurtful and malicious it can be. But there's another type of destruction that is planned by the soul and that uses spiritual power for spiritual ends.
Right, it's construction and destruction are two capacities that are given to us by God, and we both of them are necessary because both are needed to help move the plan forward. And if there wasn't destruction, then we would be saddled with a world full of old, worn-out forms of thought and forms of physical forms that would no longer serve adequately the needs of the advancing plan. So destruction is built in to our nature, and it just needs to be exercised, but appropriately.
Sort of, it's as if there's a due date on everything mm-hmm. that we create, and after that, it's mm-hmm. time to let it go.
And there's a lot more of this destruction that's it's being speeded up. It's in the last 1,200 years or so, there is a big changeover in all aspects of life, in all walks of life. There is destruction, not only the physical buildings that we see around us that are being destroyed. Some buildings nowadays, they last 25 years and they tear them down and put up something else. Whereas 100 years ago, a building might last, you know, for 100 years or more. Or some of the castles would last for centuries. But nowadays, not only buildings are being destroyed, but nations are being destroyed, and new nations are cropping up and being grown, and so it's a constant battle. It's a constant thing that's happening very rapidly.
And yet it's an ancient part of the plan for our world. Hinduism, which is an ancient religion, identifies the aspect of destruction in their concept of the Trinity. Many world religions have a threefold understanding of divinity. And in Hinduism, the concept of God as the destroyer is embodied in Shiva. Shiva is divine power used for destructive purposes in order to clarify and to clear and eliminate for the inlet of new life. It's related to one of the seven rays that we have discussed in this program. The first ray of power or will is the Shiva aspect, which sometimes operates by destruction. Always the destruction applying to the level of form, not to the inner indwelling life. But we have to keep in mind that there are many levels of form that we might not recognize as forms. We might mistake them for the real, for life itself, when in fact they're not. There are forms on the level of the physical plane, buildings, bodies, institutions. There are forms on the emotional level in the form of desires. There are forms on the level of the mind, ideas. And an example of a mental form that has to be destroyed is what we call an idée fixe, an idea that has become so hardened, so crystallized, and so embedded in our consciousness that it becomes, in a sense, encrusted like an old boat that gets barnacles attached to its hull and can't move through the waters as properly as it should. This happens on the level of the mind. And even, I suppose, to the soul, there are aspects of consciousness and experience that have to be eliminated. This is the Shiva aspect at work that destroys those limitations. It always is the destruction of a limitation leading to liberation.
Right, and that's the important thing to keep in mind, that it's not just wanton destruction for the sake of destroying something. It's destroying an old form that is no longer adequate to radiate the amount of light and life that is in the process of working out. These forms no longer are adequate to handle it. They're too small, they're too crystallized, and like moving from an idea of a small nation to a world view. And the small nationalistic idea is no longer adequate to encompass the entire world or the world view. So the that has to be destroyed that and substituted with something better.
I think the supreme act of destruction on the level of the individual is death, the death of the body. Most of us think this is a dreaded event, and certainly when it happens prematurely, one isn't quite finished with life, or when it happens to a loved one, there is suffering involved, and yet to the indwelling soul, the death of the form can be liberating. In fact, it's a release, especially when it comes at an appropriate time. The writings of Alice Bailey imply that sometimes death occurs by accident, that it really isn't planned. But there are other spiritual teachings that say that the soul knows the moment of its death from the moment of birth. I don't know. But death can be a liberation when the form is old or too limited in its ability to be a conduit for spiritual energy. If we were to have a promise of eternal life, that we would forever inhabit the body we're in at present and work through the personality that we presently have, well, I don't know about you, but I'd be devastated. I think it's an awful thought to have to be forever this mass of flesh and this person that is known by my present name. I would hope there's much more to life than that.
Well, yes, and I think everybody would agree with you, but there are still many people like they want to preserve the body somehow and hope that in the future medicine will have advanced enough so they can bring this body back to life, you know, or to freeze it or something.
What is that called? Cryogenics?
Cryogenics, yeah. Walt Disney did that. He they only preserved the head and the idea that the body will be attached in robotic form at some future time when mankind discovers how to do that.
Do you want to preserve your head forever and ever? I mean, I don't.
I'd like better
hair next time.
But when on a robot body, what more could you want?
Nose, please.
I'm not that desperate to sustain life. I think that we go on, as the Bailey materials mentioned, we go on and we come back and we see it again. But at any rate, we have to talk about a special offer. You've been listening, by the way, to Inner Sight. And our topic for today, destruction and construction. We have a special offer from the Lucis Publishing Company. And that special offer is one of the Alice Bailey books, Serving Humanity. Now, Serving Humanity is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. I like the compilations. There's a few compilations. And when you think of the vast material of the Alice Bailey literature, 24 volumes, these compilations are very useful because generally they follow a particular theme, an idea that runs throughout the Bailey books. And what they do for you is it makes the reading a lot easier. Through a compilation on a particular theme, you can set up priorities of what you want to read first in it, and what you'd like to approach and explore in greater depth in the full volumes. So they are extremely useful and also interesting, too. It's an inspiring compilation of extracts, and it will certainly help the reader in your understanding of true service and why it's so important to spiritual development. It's available for $16, and the special offer comes in the form of free shipping and handling. You do have to mention that you heard about the offer on the show in her site. So what you need to do, if you'd like the book Serving Humanity, you have to send a check or money order to Lucis, Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And once again, mention that you heard the offer on Inner Sight. So $16, check or money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And once again, the title of the book is Serving Humanity. And if you'd like to get in touch with us for any reason, whether it's to order a general package of information or to order some of copies of our shows, give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Our website is www.lucistrust.org, and you can find a lot of information about Lucis Trust on the website. You can also key into the archive library of radio shows that we've done in the past on a variety of different themes. WOR, by the way, retains the current show for a week or more, a little bit more. And if you miss a show on a Sunday, wake up a little later and want to hear it, you can key into the WOR website, www.WOR710.com. And by the way, we appreciate all the support you've given us in the past, financial support. That is what keeps us on the air, and we value that. We really thank you very much for your help, and please continue to do so. And if you'd like to make a donation, donations, by the way, are tax deductible, and you can send your donation to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York 10005. Our topic is destruction and construction, and I think you've very clearly outlined the Alice Bailey viewpoint set forth in her literature about the purpose of destruction, that it certainly serves even an esoteric and a spiritual purpose. But where does the construction come in?
The construction comes in when the destructive aspect has done its part. And as Dale mentioned, we can identify this process of destruction and construction underway in the world, because we're not only talking about the personal level, but that of groups, societies, nations, other kingdoms. All of the forms that inhabit the earth are subject to this process of destruction and construction. Perhaps we could say that the past century has been an amazing depiction of destruction through the world war that was experienced in two parts, through the breaking up of colonial empire and the establishing of nation states, through the liberation of many peoples who had been under domination of totalitarian regimes. All of these are examples of destruction on a world level that led to something much more in line with the plan.
Right, and the United Nations is an example of construction of a very positive kind to replace the old colonial form of ruling and colonial and autocratic form of ruling and imperialism. And I was just thinking about the different phases that nations go through. And for example, in Russia, it was replaced. Imperialism in Russia was replaced by communism, and then communism itself was replaced 70 or 80 years later by a more capitalistic form of government. So it's gone through many phases very quickly in evolutionary terms, and who knows whether what's still in store there.
Your mention of the United Nations brings up a point about destruction that I think is often misunderstood. People, particularly in this country, seem to be very critical of the United Nations because it doesn't police everybody and make them behave according to the standards and goals that Americans think are right for the world. And that reminds me of a statement from the writings of Alice Bailey, which remind us that destruction is part of the plan, even when human beings practice it improperly. It's part of God's trust in human intelligence and human ability to learn from experience to let us endure the results of our choices and our decisions, much as a mother lets her child play with blocks and then blow the whole thing apart and start over again. That's how a child learns to build and create. The same with humanity. We learn through the choices and decisions we make, and the United Nations also does not impose any arbitrary will on humanity. It allows the member nations and governments to create, build, rebuild, break down, start over. It's part of a process that requires intelligence and the ability to learn from experience. That's where the constructive aspect comes in, the creative intelligence that man is endowed with.
And that same creative intelligence we can apply to ourselves, too. I mean, it's not just among nations, but there are aspects of us, that, like in our own emotional nature. There are attitudes, and as you mentioned earlier, the idée fixe sort of attitude. If you are possessed by an idée fixe, then that's... an attitude.
I'm sure I'm not.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't pointing his finger at anybody. But it's that sort of thing, those attitudes that we carry around with us, emotional attitudes that we carry around with us, that really limit our ability to cope in the world. And the fact that they limit our ability to understand and to build new relationships and branch out and so forth. And so it's these sort of things that we have within us that also have to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And by destroying, we can replace them with something better. Substitution, I think, is a word that works very well here. Instead, that's another way of destroying, by substituting something better, more positive, and then letting the old attitude just die out from attrition.
That's why meditation can be such a constructive factor in remaking and redeeming one's life, because that ability to retreat inward and to gradually build an alignment and an attunement with the soul, the indwelling being within all of us, is the means by which we carry out this substitution and this process of elimination of all that is not the soul. The personality is called the not-self, and yet we mistake it for who we really are and who other people really are. We look at the outer garment of the person, and we say that's who they are, and we react with a positive or a negative response depending on whether it's pleasing to us or not. But the indwelling being is the real builder. And I think there's a relation to this, the life of Christ in this. It's so familiar that it can be almost platitudinous, but the fact that Christ used as an occupation that of the carpenter has a real spiritual significance. A carpenter is someone who creates or builds using wood. And the fact that he was a carpenter and was crucified on a cross of wood or a tree, I think, is symbolic of his capacity to live creatively and to show us how to create and redeem our own lives on earth. We live on earth, on the outer planes, for a reason, because this is the plane, the level of the world on which we must create and on which we must carry out redemption. We can't do it in our dreams. We can't do it in our afterlife. We can't do it in the periods between one incarnation and another. The soul returns and inhabits a new form over and over again for the purposes of redeeming and building anew. And Christ was enacting this cyclic reappearance for us and showing us how to live on a more creative and more correct line. We get one chance after another. Now we are moving into a new age when the whole of humanity has a chance to build a new world.
And it's constantly building a new body of light, or a new body that will allow a greater radiation, a shining forth of the light that is within already. It's not light that you have to build. It's
there.
It's there, and it's allowing that light of the soul to shine through more radiantly. So the whole teachings on purification and redemption, all of that has to do with light and allowing light to shine through you.
And yet it's very interesting that light itself can be an agent of destruction. Mm-hmm. Look at what the medical world can do with light in terms of laser surgery, removal of cataracts and so on, the removal of kidney stones and all kinds of things are done with light that destroys the unwanted aspect, the part of our body that has to go. Light cast in the world can be pretty destructive in the sense that it illumines what we need to see, and sometimes that's not so pretty.
No, and that's one reason to destroy, be willing to destroy.
To let it go.
Let it go,
yeah.
And to build anew, build something new, building new relationship, building new way of feeling about your family, your friends, your loved ones, your co-workers. Build it with the energy of love and the energy of light, which is simply the energy of knowledge and wisdom from our perspective. So it's gaining more of the ability to allow these energies to flow through you.
The whole problem is that we want to preserve the form at any and all costs, and we aren't always able to recognize when a particular form, whether an idea or a relationship or a creation of some sort, has become a prison and a limitation. The whole thing is that we're so fixed on the outer material level that we don't really trust life to transcend the form. And yet, the whole point of Christ's death and resurrection is to demonstrate that life endures beyond the form. I think if we could get that straight, we could allow destruction to occur in periodic spells in our life when we have to let go of the old. We are, Alice Bailey said, too engrossed with the form and too occupied with our prison. We build a prison for ourselves in our attachment to everything we've created. And when it's disrupted, we suffer, but it's only the destruction that's necessary to let new life in.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, Serving Humanity. It's one of the Alice Bailey books, and it's available for $16. The discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling, so what you need to do is send a check or a money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 100.05. Once again, that's $16 check or money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 100.05. And do mention that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.